time, there were 65 or so Pacifica affiliates. I'm not sure about Brian's figures. I think it may have dropped much lower than he indicated. Part of the problem is that we have not even been contacted by Pacifica for the last 3 years in regard to our affiliation. The only
This is WBAI 99.5 FM New York.
Contract issues. And for KGNU's part, this wasn't about money but about terms, because we wanted to be able to drop out should Democracy Now! Not be part of Pacifica. So we had a contract dispute going all year long last year, and really we were never talked to about programming. None of our issues, none of our concerns were ever addressed, so we wrote to the board and to the management of Pacifica. And even before 1999, the affiliates have been a forgotten part of this organization. There may have been a meeting at an annual conference, but because of the tensions between the five stations and the issue of national programming, within that dispute or discussion, the affiliates really were left out. This is a resource for Pacifica that has not been, pardon the word, exploited. And it is something that could be developed within the organization, within a new Pacifica. Most of us in community radio have looked to Pacifica for inspiration and as a model for the diversity that Major Owens spoke so eloquently about yesterday. The broadcast of Pacifica programming on all these diverse community stations nationwide has really extended the reach of Pacifica's voice, and also producers at these stations, both paid and unpaid, have added to the richness of Pacifica programming by submitting programs and pieces to these programs. One of the issues that has come up in this struggle is that there perhaps should be Pacifica affiliate representation on the Pacifica board. And this would ensure that the issues, or would help ensure, that the issues of affiliates are addressed, taken under consideration, that our perspective is something that's in the mix. And we haven't talked about selecting, how we would select such a representative. But I just want to put that on the table as an option. Thank you.
Thank you, Marty.
That was Marty Durlin of Pacifica affiliate KGNU in Boulder, Colorado.
Affiliates who want to say a few words, and then if there are any comments from the board, you'll take those too.
I'm Steve Pierce from WRPI in Troy. We serve Albany, upstate New York, southwestern Vermont, northwestern Massachusetts. I want to briefly address Brian's comments about the satellite system. I think it's clear from his comments that there's really a need to talk to the affiliates when you're making any decisions that are going to affect them. The KU satellite system was designed and built by Pacifica because many of the stations that air Pacifica programming aren't part of the NPR satellite system. The NPR satellite system requires C-band equipment, which is very expensive and is really, for the most part, only at NPR stations. The NPR stations are unlikely to carry Pacifica programming unless you increase the mainstreaming that's been going on for the past couple of years. The most likely place for programming that's related to peace and social justice issues is the affiliates at small stations, community-based stations that don't have the money and the C-band access. That's why Pacifica built the system in the first place. It needs to be enhanced, expanded, and made available to other small stations, low-power FM and other places, where they're liable to want the kind of programming that you have, as opposed to changing the programming to make it more palatable to the stations that are out there already. Pacifica is all about peace achieved through social and economic justice. We can be your partners in doing this. A lot of the discussion that I've heard today at this board meeting and over the past weekend is about adopting the language, tools, and techniques of corporate commercial radio. The community stations are about a movement for media democracy, peace, social and economic justice. That is what the community stations do. We fill in the gaps between the East Coast, the West Coast, and the Gulf Coast, where you own and operate stations. There are dozens of stations throughout the country that fill that in. not huge audiences, not urban areas like the Pacifica stations, but people who want to be part of this movement, who don't see radio as a product to be produced in the most efficient way possible, but as a social process of the peace and justice community. That's what we do, and that's what we hope to do in the future with you. And I think that's what some of the affiliates have been doing for the past few years, trying to keep this organization on track. We used to take our guidance and leadership from Pacifica, and we're looking for you to resume that role, because you have the resources that we need to be successful. I'll just close by saying that I polled a number of the folks who have been active in the Pacifica Reform Movement, the affiliates who have been trying desperately to support Amy Goodman and the activists at the other stations, both the national activists and the local station activists. We've done our part, which is very minimal because we have very limited resources, but we've tried to do the best we can to be part of this national and international reform movement. When I polled some of the other folks who've been involved in the Pacifica Grassroots Coalition, Norm Stockwell at WORT, Elizabeth Robinson at KCSB, Kathy Emilio at WERU, representing stations across the country, I said, I'll be coming to the meeting. Is there anything that I should convey? Two things, really, that we all feel. One is that there needs to be some representation on the board, not really just for our benefit, but for yours as well. We are part of a global movement for media democracy, as are you. And I think we can bring something to your board, and we can help. It's almost like an interlocking directorate idea. The other thing is, Brian did a great report, but it shows that nobody at Pacifica is listening. We have been writing letters for years to Pacifica from our station, pleading with you to give us something to say when people ask us questions about what's happening in Pacifica. You have affiliates who want to support Pacifica who are ignored, forcing us to take a position that you're opposed to us or that you have no interest in us. So I think one of the top orders of business at the board level, some kind of representation, at the staff level, some kind of affiliate relations person who can help build this global movement. Thanks a lot, and thank you all for coming out.
Keith Pierce, community radio station WRPI in Troy, New York.
I'm Reem Katkhuda, co-founder with Errol Maitland of WBAI, WPFW Radio in Exile on WBIX.org. The reason I'm speaking now is part of our effort was a national outreach in which we hopped on a bus and traveled across the country to talk with the existing, some of the existing affiliates, some of the ex-affiliates, and also some of potential affiliates whose names and contacts we were given by media activists from across the country. And I feel that it might be very relevant to this discussion to give you a very quick report. Some of the ex-affiliate, very disgruntled, has returned the KGU and other equipment so that even if we are to fix everything today, there is time that they will need to re-get it back. And they actually now have the satellite of the public radio. All the affiliates talked about the fact of the lack of communication, lack of interaction with them and bringing and having all of that, but this has been covered. They also had other issues whereby they were really had a lot of problems with the content of the news and a lot have dropped the relationship or kind of just carry it disgruntledly as little as they can but would rather have something completely different caliber. The other points also is that while we were doing that, we also trained them, particularly that they cared to carry Democracy Now. We trained them on how to get it from the Internet. Some had the equipment to do it, and some needed help in setting up equipment to do it. By the way, even our own radio stations need that. We were not able to give a webcast to WBAI, and we're actually giving them an ISDN today and a phone feed and Kodak yesterday, which is more of the traditional and more expensive way of sharing this board meeting with them because they didn't have what would be like a 400 computer that we could build in a week to get it to them, one cost, once and for all, and things like that. So there's technology need upgrade for everywhere. Another thing also is also training them, which this doesn't take much, to be able to profit from a less expensive national programming. The third point is also we were approached by a lot of community radios and actually even commercial radios that after 9/11 and some before were interested because they didn't have a budget for public programming to carry WBIX public programming or to have us file packages like 20 minutes or whatever daily so that they could include a little national component at a very cheap price. So I'm sharing all of that with you to show you that there's also a very huge potential of expanding the number of the affiliates of the radio network through a little bit of technology training, some effort, and also tapping into the national and actually international media activist network. And that's part of what we've been doing, and it can be done. We can go into greater details. So these were pretty, and also the last detail was much more face-to-face interaction, visiting them, because by visiting Michigan, Chicago, Minneapolis, and Ohio, we were able to very fast get an understanding of what is seems to be general, and we contacted others, and sure enough, it was right on. And the last detail is also covering the convergences on Philadelphia for Mumia Abu Jamal when Democracy Now! Was taken off and just in its beginning. A lot of radio stations, some affiliates and some not, again, were extremely eager and could react real fast within 24 hours to our email and phone calls, and more than 15 carried a one-hour produced piece about Mumia Abu Jamal. So that's also another argument towards that. And they took the feed by phone, by internet, by also public radio. So we might consider also stepping away from our proprietary KGNU and going more to what other national radio stations can take. Thank you.
That was a woman whose name I didn't quite catch. I believe it was Amina Kofilia from WBIX, which is the WBAI in Exile webcast.
I think that's it.
Which has been carrying many programs
inappropriate
that were banned
pitch,
from WBAI.
January 21st is Martin Luther King's birthday, and WBAI Radio in Exile has been working with
Errol Maitland,
the DC Voices for Peace, as Black Voices for Peace, as well as with Matt Jones in New York and folks in LA to do a national day of programming to honor Dr. Martin Luther King. I think it would be appropriate for the Pacifica family to consider giving us the ability to do a really good day of King, as we have done traditionally at WBAI with Bernard White for some 20 years, missing last year for the first time. And I would hope that the board would consider that and endorse that work.
Errol Maitland.
And we are
WBIX.
Here, I'll tell you, to continue the mission of Pacifica if you guys were to fall down again.
Errol Maitland, again, one of the founders of WBAX, unable to work at WBAI under the regime that was placed in there a year ago.
But again, we don't have time, really, to get into the substance of what was presented here, which I think in three short reports put a tremendous amount of critical information on the table for this board and for this whole foundation. So, many of the issues you raised are not only concerns of the affiliates, but are concerns for the five stations as well. And the whole relationship with the affiliates is, I think you really very sharply gotten to the heart of everything from technical questions to the political mission of this organization, and put it all out there, to say nothing of how we interact with each other. I know I am very interested as the new chair of this board to try to quickly, and I can't give you an exact date, set up a meeting, a national meeting specifically with affiliates to talk, to deepen our understanding of this, and to build a relationship, not that we decide what the relationship is, but the affiliates with us decide what the relationship is. So hopefully we can figure out a time and place, and I don't know, maybe even do some fundraising to help make sure that people can attend such a meeting. The particular issue about representation on the board, I think everybody's aware that one of the mandates that this interim board has this year is to review and revise the bylaws. And I think that will be us that has to be on that agenda about the relationship, building that into the bylaws, the relationship of the affiliates to the organization. So I think some other people on the board want to say something, but I personally just really appreciate the comments that were made here and the affiliates around the country who are doing phenomenal work on their own and are pushing us to be a better national organization. George,
that's Board Chair Leslie Kagan.
I'm the affiliate. No, I'm the affiliates, Jabari and then Teresa. And then Ray.
Hi, this is Jabari Zakia. What I would hopefully see us gravitating toward
is a construction of a system or construction of an organization where the mission statement goals become the purpose of how you structure your organization versus you structure your organization because of legal or artificial considerations and then try to fit your mission statement within that structure. What I really would like to begin that discussion with affiliates is we have in Pacifica hasn't had a station brought into the formal network since PFW 25 years ago. But we don't have to use that model where we go and buy licensing that FCC for one frequency and then get that. It took 9 years from PFW or the Pacifica Foundation to put the license in for PFW in 1968. They did not go on the air until February of 1977. We have to be more creative. There are new times, there are new means to do things. And the affiliates and people like Reem and Errol and the people with the VIX and XL have actually done a lot of the stuff, and I've worked with them, I've talked to them. We need to somehow formalize Pacifica, including the affiliates, so they're not really affiliates. They are Pacifica. And I would like to see Pacifica be these people, whatever structure we have to do, and not to be outside of Pacifica, but to be Pacifica.
Okay. Teresa
yes. Allen from
Madam
Houston.
Chair, I'm wondering if we could perhaps have a committee, and I don't intend something to be a bottleneck, but a liaison, so everything doesn't have to go through you with these people, and we can start working on these issues.
Could I, just on that item, could I suggest that we discuss this with the new, the acting executive director about the best way to structure that discussion, the board participation, the staff participation, and participation from the five stations. So instead of setting up a committee right now, okay, that we seek a recommendation from our acting executive director about how to proceed.
Could I also put it on record now that I would also like to deal with the PNN situation somehow officially to say we're working on that?
Yes.
Because that was a hot item, and we never did form a committee or anything. I'd like to hear more about it. I'd like to be interacting about it.
Okay. Thank you. And Ray?
I just want to say that I'm encouraged by what I heard earlier.
Forrest from New York.
It's great to see that people who are working with the affiliates understand the need to work together. And for us to be here, we're here clearly because we understand the importance of the message that Pacifica is bringing in fighting for social justice. So I'm really very interested in this process. I want to take this opportunity to congratulate both Reem and Errol of WBIX to, show what they show of initiative, tremendous resourcefulness, and really taking us to a brand new direction and help bring that voice of Pacifica to brand new vistas. And we're supporting that effort.
Thank you. So I think that that we've covered this item, and again, I really, really don't want to thank the presentation, the people who made the presentations. I think it's shed a lot of light, and hopefully the people on the board who didn't hear them will read the, detailed minutes. I think it's important, at least for that part of the minutes, that we share in detail what people said. The next item is actually something I want to handle here. I want to make a little announcement and propose a very brief motion that we could adopt. And that is that as part of the process of healing and reconciliation, the rebuilding of this network, and in recognition of the many, many years of service that Larry Bensky has brought to Pacifica, not only to KPFA, but to Pacifica and to its listeners nationally, I am excited and pleased to announce that Jim Bennett, the station manager at KPFA, will immediately reinstate Larry Bensky to the paid staff of KPFA. I know that Larry is listening and is anchoring this broadcast from KPFA, but this is not a message just to Larry. It's a message to all of our listeners and all of our producers of the commitment of the new leadership to deal with these outstanding problems, to address them. I know Jim Bennett wants to say something, but I also just want to put a motion that the National Board of Directors fully support the decision of Jim Bennett and the station management to and appreciates the station management's decision to take this action. So that's a motion that I'm bringing.
Second the motion.
Okay, Jim, did you want to add something?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that people knew that Larry Binsky has been volunteering at KPFA under great duress economically and otherwise in terms of how much he's suffered during this period of time. And we have been deeply committed to Larry to try to keep his voice alive on Pacifica. I do want to also encourage the board to figure out ways to involve Larry on a national basis to continue his great contributions to all of Pacifica in terms of national broadcasts. KPFA certainly has appreciated what he has done for us in terms of a national perspective that he has provided for KPFA. We would love to be able to share that with all the Pacifica affiliates as well by making some of his programming and his specials that he does on KPFA available to the other Pacifica stations and the affiliates.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Thank you. I think from the nodding of the heads at the table that there is agreement with what you said, Jim, that we have to explore ways to deepen the relationship on a national level and to bring Larry's voice to our audiences, to the listeners, around the country, not just in KPFA. There was a second on the motion, unless there's other comments, maybe we can just, by a show of hands, all those in support of the motion, that is the motion to support the decision of management at KPFA to return Larry Binsky to state staff. Well, David, yes, no, seeing no opposition, or is it? Any opposition? Abstentions? Okay, then this passes. Okay, thank you. Then that passes. Pete wanted to bring to our attention the archive issue.
Before we go to archive, I'd like to offer another... this is Pete from Berkeley again. I would like to offer another motion, which is that the National Board commit to moving the national offices to Berkeley, California.
I second the motion.
Are there Branson scheduled
Ushin comments on this?
Making that motion, seconded by Carol.
I was notified last week that Friends of Free Speech Radio in Berkeley is committed to giving us a grant to cover all costs involved in moving the national office back to Berkeley. As they have generously supported this fight for 3 years, I also do want to say that the removal of our national headquarters from its birthplace in Berkeley was a rape, that we have suffered that indignity without redress for since January of 2000, that it is a matter of moral principle. This was the birthplace of Pacifica. Pacifica is not a beltway organization. It is the exception to the rulers.
Quiet, please.
And we have been fighting since our office was removed without our consent or notice in the middle of the night to get it back to Berkeley. I think it's a matter of principle. And I would ask Pete if we could make a friendly amendment that this board commits to moving our headquarters back to Berkeley, quote, as soon as feasible.
I agree.
If I could just speak on this, I agree with this. I think this is an important move to make. We also do have to be aware that there are very, very practical issues related to this. Obviously, there's a financial issue which has been covered by the generous contribution or pledge of a contribution. There also are people on staff in Washington that we have to discuss and consider. There also is the question of stabilizing our finances and our treasurers in Washington. I understand that I'm just clarifying that the feasibility issue that amendments or modification that Carol offered, I think speaks to those issues. So I don't think we're talking about tomorrow going and packing up the office and moving it. We're talking about trying to figure out an orderly, that's what this motion, I think, addresses, is to figure out that's the desire, that's the interest, that's what we want to do, to figure out an orderly and respectful, as respectful to the national staff, process to facilitate that, to make that happen. So I just wanted to clarify that. George, did you want to say something? And then Jabari.
I'm a little concerned that given all the changes, the wonderful changes that are made in our board and in our organization, that we're doing this right now. It just seems to be a pragmatic issue. I don't care what time, the West Coast or East Coast. I'm just worried about all the upheaval.
George Barnstone of
KPFT in Houston.
He's concerned about an office.
There is an issue around timing, and I think we must be sensitive to various areas, but commit ourselves to move the national office back to Berkeley. There are various operational concerns that Leslie alluded to. I'm sure Jabari would like to speak to those. There are personnel issues with the national office that we must be sensitive to. It is the what I'm asking for is a commitment.
Not a timeline, right?
This is Jabari Zakia, and I'll just direct it to you, Pete and Kara. Because you've expressed this to me, so I'm going to express it. I'm just going to express it openly. What I don't like in how you're bringing this up is the attitude that this is our headquarters. We somehow have to all start to see every component of Pacifica as part of a family that doesn't belong to any one entity, but is the concern and to be embraced by all. What I'm truly concerned with is that, to me, the physical location of the office is, particularly within this era of communication, more so now symbolic than any other thing. Though at this particular time, the stability issue is the number one issue to me. But the philosophical issue is this lingering, issue that we're going to have to get out on the table in an open forum. There are real good reasons to keep at least a component of the national office in D.C. We have not discussed that because we haven't discussed where we see the vision of Pacifica to ultimately go, so we can't really discuss the mechanics of getting there until we all are clear on the vision of where we see it. I'll give you three good examples for people who are listening. If we want to extend Pacifica in certain ways, there's three good reasons why there should be at least a component of the office in D.C. One is called the FCC, one is called Congress, and one is called the other nonprofits and NGOs who have a base in D.C. that we could align ourselves with. All I'm saying is, I am not going to make decisions based on emotions of one group of people. The office doesn't belong to Berkeley. The office belongs to everybody in Pacifica. And that's the discussion that I want to see take place based on objectives that we can agree with, and then see how every component of Pacifica fits into a harmonious facilitation of those objectives. Right now, it's premature. My major concern, as I've stated all along, is to get control of the airwaves. We can have a headquarters anywhere and not have control of the airwaves, so what would be the point?
We need
to be deliberative, but I would just urge that you put this off until we get a sense of stability and until we get a chance to deal with this in a more substantive basis, because we on the board ourselves can be more harmonious and compatible in where we see the evolving of the new Pacifica going, so we can make all of these decisions more deliberately and more open and have a full discussion from everybody under Pacifica. That's all I'm asking.
Can I just for one second? This actually motion...
The local advisory board representative
at
WPFW.
To speak to the archives issue. So this is actually a little out of order. I also know that Rob Robinson does have strong feelings on this question and had to go to the hotel to check out and is due back. I would like to table this to at least later in the agenda. And, you know, we have other business ahead of us. I'd like to table it. So if that's okay with people... And we can move back to the order of the agenda.
Could I ask the chair,
Carol Spooner,
if we table this, that we bring it to a vote before we adjourn our meeting today?
Yes, I'm sorry. I should have been clear. Table it to later today, not indefinitely, but later in the agenda today. But I do know that unfortunately our other members had to leave. Rob just had to go to the hotel, and we was planning to come back. So that's why I requested that. So on the archives.
Yes, I would like to read a couple of items into the record.
Pete Branson.
In the effort, I would ask that the board commit themselves to support the archives in any way and always. The archives are a treasure to Pacifica. We have a lot of very, very important items in the archives which are not being kept up due to various reasons. I'd like to read a quick plan of action. This plan of action was brought to us by the following individuals: Matthew Lazar, Veronica Selver, Sharon Wood, Sherry Gendelman, Susan Stone, and Eddie Gevins. I'm gonna truncate the presentation to go to plan of action items. And in effect, what I'm asking the board to do is accept this. I will take ownership on providing a document to the next board meeting with subsequent plans of actions and proposals to the board. But in summation, the archives can address problems long delayed, such as redefining its personnel structure by putting an experienced fundraiser and project planner in place, upgrading its technology so that the archives do not languish, reestablishing relationships with the Pacifica stations, and in fact, our other relationships with the stations. Which it serves by providing recent and older programming via satellite, continue to build partnerships and other nonprofit learning institutions involving digital restoration of sound materials. I ask the board to accept this document and that I will put together a more detailed proposal for our next meeting, but that the board commit itself to support and maintain the archives.
The Pacifica Archives are located in Los Angeles, and there have been numerous reports of deterioration of some of
the
40 or 50,000 programs that are in that archival collection.
There's no specific action because this plan that you gave us in writing has some specific language that I don't know we're prepared to take action on that now. So the general statement. Okay. Teresa seconded. Any comments on this?
I'd like to.
Yes, Teresa, please.
Teresa Allen from Houston.
I'm not a real technical person, but one of my minors in college was library science. And when I heard that the station manager at KPFT unloaded a whole dumpster of tapes of our history, I just could have gagged. So I cannot, I mean, and you know, I have my own copy of Howard Zinn's History of the People of the United States. I just feel this is just precious, and it is something we need to hold on to. So it needs some special attention.
Okay. Since our secretary is out of the room, could you just repeat? That's okay. Could you just repeat the motion? So
that the board commit itself, number one, that the board received this article, that the board commit itself to maintain and to maintain the archives, and by next meeting I will present a plan.
Okay, all in favor, just raise your hands. Any opposition? Seeing none, it's unanimous that we support that. Okay, next, there are several items that are all kind of lumped together here, so we can try and move through them quickly. And I would ask the board to try and move through them quickly, even though some might be controversial, I'm not sure, because if there is time, we would like to get some more public comment in. We are committed to a joint adventure here with the listeners. So getting more public comment in this weekend is very, very important. So the next item is on under the interim board business. the next meeting of this board. I want to propose that we meet in Los Angeles the weekend of March 9th, 10th. I think that's the Saturday and Sunday, whatever the exact dates are. It was, again, Friday night, Saturday and Sunday in Los Angeles, March 9th, 8th, 9th, and 10th, I guess that would be. Is there any problem with that weekend? Or with going to Los Angeles?
We'll do it.
The weekend of the 9th. I don't have a calendar in front of me. I don't recall if the 9th is Friday or Saturday. But that weekend. Okay. So, if there's no objection to that, that's when we will meet again. Just to be very clear with the rest of the board members, I will tomorrow send notification to everybody on the board, which will be more than 7 days advance notice. And I will talk to the national office about how to make public notice of this, as wide as possible. Yes, very quickly.
And we're going to welcome all of y'all to Southern California.
David Purdy.
Thank you. Thank you. And let me just say that coming to New York this weekend and then Los Angeles for our next meeting, hopefully is, a reaffirmation of our commitment to meet around the five listening areas and to keep rotating the meetings. I think at our next meeting we probably should address a meeting schedule for for several meetings coming down the road in terms of what we need to accomplish over this next 14 months. But for now, let's just set that. So that's that. Second item, I just wanted to also make a proposal that our minutes, our quick-fingered guy over here who is transcribing the minutes needs 10 days to turn around that transcription and get a copy to us, to the office, and to the secretary. What I would like to propose is that we then ask our secretary to prepare and share with us the minutes of this meeting, which would obviously not just be a verbatim repeat of this, a consolidated set of minutes, within another 10 days after that. In other words, basically what I'm talking about is 3 weeks from this meeting. I don't know if that's 21 days. Is that
10 days includes 10 business days.
That's 21 business days. Let's do it that way. Well, if we need more time, do you want to say a month from this meeting?
Well, I don't know what 10 business days is, but I think...
Mike. Why don't we say as quickly as possible, but no more than 1 month from this meeting?
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Okay, as quickly as possible and no more than 1 month from this meeting. I just want to congratulate and thank Carol for an extensive set of minutes from the last meeting. I'm not sure that we need quite that since we have both a tape recording of the meeting and we have the transcription of the meeting. I think in an overview and obviously, of course, a record of decisions made and other highlights that you want to include in the minutes would be fine. But I think our secretary shouldn't be burdened with, a detailed set of minutes. Carol?
I'd just like to speak to that for a moment. During the legal discovery process, I read the board minutes going back to 1980. And I want to say that this organization once did have detailed anecdotal minutes throughout the 1980s and before, because I've recovered many from libraries as well. It's only when this organization began taking a direction that did not have the support of many of the people in it that the minutes became very truncated. So with the permission of the board, I won't do minutes that are far too burdensome for people to read, but I think it is important to make a record of the arguments for and against what we do during this transition period, and I will do that faithfully.
Carol Spooner is the new board secretary. She's also the principal instigator of
and
the
again,
listeners' lawsuit.
And again, I'm assuming that the minutes will be posted on our website.
Just a footnote, we need to review
the website.
Changing the nature of power and the location of Pacifica. Carol Spooner from the North Bay for KPFA Listener Support Group, and now an elected member of the local advisory board at KPFA, and now an elected member of the national board as well.
I think that minutes is supposed to be like, this passed.
George Barnstone from Houston.
Pass, and
not going into a lot of detail. I appreciate the great detail you provide. Don't misunderstand me. I'm sorry. I think a minute is supposed to be very like, you know, this passed, that passed, and not a lot of detail, although I do like the detail you're providing. Don't misunderstand me. But I think, you know, minutes are supposed to be very abbreviated.
No, I believe an organization can determine what kind of minutes it wants.
Yes.
You know, that's up to us to determine what kind of minutes we want and need. What I assume is that Carol will do another set of minutes. We'll have to act on those minutes at the, you know, at the next meeting to accept them. And we can determine then that we can give her some more guidance. This didn't give us enough information. It gave us too much information. Whatever, this is a work in progress. So if we can... No, I understand. So can we move off the minutes? Yeah, Carol.
I'm sorry. One question I have. Obviously, we've had a quick turnaround here, time here, so I didn't get any feedback before we got here, but certainly anything that anybody has a problem with would be good before we come to the meeting. I could make adjustments as requested. Also, there was a question brought to me as to whether when the minutes would be...
While this technical discussion of the minutes is going on, let me take the moment to reintroduce those of you who are listening or introduce for the first time to what it is we're doing here. This is a live broadcast of the Interim Pacifica National Board from New York City. The meeting began at approximately 6:30 this morning, California time, 9:30 East Coast time. And at the end of the meeting, we'll be summarizing the major things that they have done. They have selected an interim executive director and done some other important things. The board meeting is probably going to continue for another hour or so. It's not clear how many board members are left in the room. I'm Larry Vinsky. I'm anchoring this from Berkeley.
That discussion
hopefully next time, if we, and I'm sure we will do these probably all 3 days next time from Los Angeles, I'll be able to be there in person. This was put together at the last minute in order to serve our listeners. I understand we're on 3 Pacifica stations. Hopefully we'll be all on 5 next time. We will carry this meeting to its conclusion. At the end of that time, we'll take listener phone-ins and bring you a special brief summary of what's been going on inside Pacifica that you may not be aware of. Anyone, you can always log on to www.savepacifica.net for details if you're new to this struggle and want to find out more about it.
Once there is approval, which
back to the New York board meeting.
There is approval, they will then be made public, so we don't have to wait until the full meeting. Okay, great. So why don't we move along? The next agenda item under this part is that what the third item that was voted on at the December 29th meeting, which was and had to go to the judge, was an item, a resolution, unfortunately I don't have the wording in front of me, to end our relationship, let me put it that way, with the counsel, with the litigation counsel for this foundation, Williams and Connolly and Fulbright and Jaworski. When the judge ruled on this matter, he rejected our decision. That is, the majority of the board had voted to end the relationship with them. He rejected it without comment. He didn't comment on any of the three items. Our lawyers, some of our lawyers, that is when we were litigants, which we are no longer, but understood and read that to be a result of the fact that certain documents had not been signed by all the lawyers to actually close out the settlement agreement. And so until that was done, that the assumption was that the judge would not want to cut out the lawyers who were represented the defendants until that was done. That has now been done. That paperwork is done. The settlement is finished. So with that in mind, I would like to see if somebody would like to offer to put that motion back before us so we can
ask. What I'd like to offer, I'm sorry to speak so much, so is
okay.
I've spoken to Bob Darby, and you know, there's nothing more he wants than is to get let go of this, because he's taking a pounding.
He doesn't
have a lot of confidence he's going to get paid. And so, you know, and he said, you know, as soon as he can get off, he will. And
okay.
He said he can't leave, though, until the judge signs the order. Everyone signs off.
point of information, the judge did sign the order on Friday. I was faxed a copy of it.
I've not spoken to Bob maybe in 2 weeks, okay. But I mean, he was, you mean, you know, hard for us. I want to get out of here.
Okay, so this is the, could we?
Judge and all of all.
These corporate law firms that Pacifica hired have cost hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars of listener sponsors'
money. Pass it with the understanding that the documents have been signed, the judge has signed off on it, and that we are discontinuing the services, ending our relationship with Williams and Connolly and Fulbright and Jaworski as the litigation attorneys for this foundation. No, this is a motion about the litigation attorneys. Let me be clear. This foundation has had, I don't know, thousands of attorneys. I've never met so many lawyers. Anyway, we have to do a review of our various lawyers and who represents us doing what. This is just about the litigation attorneys, right? That this is the implementation of this is, of course, contingent on the judge having, well, Carol just informed us that the judge did sign off on this.
I could reread the motion.
Okay,
that we
adopted. Okay, so can we hear the motion again?
All right. Whereas the law firms of Williams and Connolly and Fulbright and Jaworski were retained to represent the foundation and certain of its past and current directors in three consolidated legal actions in Alameda County Superior Court in California concerning the foundation bylaws and past acts of some of the directors, and whereas a settlement agreement has been entered into resolving those lawsuits, and whereas final judgment has been entered by the court in those actions, therefore be it now resolved that the legal services of Williams and Connolly and Fulbright and Jaworski are hereby terminated concerning this litigation and any and all other matters. The executive director is instructed to inform both law firms that they are authorized to perform no further work on behalf of the foundation. The Pacifica Foundation shall remain neutral as to any controversies that may arise among the interim directors concerning the enforcement of the settlement agreement or court oversight of the agreement, and may retain other legal counsel without conflicts of interest to advise the foundation as to these matters if needed.
Okay, is a second.
Second.
David Furtick saying it. Can we do a show of hands on this? All those who are in favor of accepting this motion, please raise your hand. Is there any opposition? Seeing no opposition, no abstentions, are carried unanimously. Thank you, Carol. Okay. Let's try and keep moving here, folks. Just for the people listening on BIX and through other mechanisms, I understand that people aren't aware that we three board members did have to leave. They did have to catch trains or planes, I'm not sure, home. Just so everybody is aware that Bert Lee, Marion Barry, and James Ferguson all had to leave the meeting. We still have more than a quorum and are certainly able to continue.
Those are the three remaining
and they did not
board members from the
in
old
any,
majority.
You know, opposition. There was just the practical
the only
reality.
Three who attended
of timing.
This weekend.
There's another item under this section, and then the tabled item. Now, let me just say also it's about 12:45. I would like to try and wrap up this meeting by 1:30, 22 the latest. If we can move through the next two items that we have, which is the item from George, and then revisiting the tabled item.
Which
and
are?
Then, and,
can
excuse
you tell
me, in a second. And then have time for public comment. Again, I think it would be very, very, very good. We may not have time for everybody who's on the list. I'm going to make sure that people from out of town get to speak. But so if I could just ask the board's help on trying to stay as focused as possible. So, George, could you?
I have two issues I'd like to bring up.
George Barnstone from Houston.
First, I move that the Pacifica National Board endorse the 2001 through 2010 United Nations Decade for Building a Culture of Peace.
I'm sorry.
And
it would help, again, if people would be quiet. I know it's been a long weekend, but...
I move that the Pacifica National Board endorse the 2001 through 2010 United Nations Decade for Building a Culture of Peace for the Children of the World, and to become a peace partner in endorsing the United Nations Decade Resolution that invites all citizens and organizations to foster a culture of peace through education, to promote sustainability, economic and social development, to promote respect for all human rights, to ensure equality between men and women, to foster democratic participation, to advance understanding, tolerance, and solidarity, to support participatory communication and the free flow of information and knowledge, and to promote international peace and security. I move that we endorse this.
Is there a second?
I second the motion.
If I could call myself for a moment, I have absolutely no problem with the substance of what George has put out. I think, though, it begs the question about our policy for endorsements. And I do think we need to know how we make endorsements. Do we require any background information? Do we ask questions about what the endorsement is asking of us, the group that's seeking our endorsement, what level of participation? I'm not opposed to the Pacifica Foundation making endorsements, the board of the foundation, but we don't have, I believe, neither a history nor a policy in place for how to do this. And therefore, while I personally would love to endorse this, and if they're asking for individuals to endorse it, I will add my individual name. But as an organization, I hate to disagree with you, George, but I think it's jumping the gun.
I disagree with you.
Okay, let me just finish. I would ask us to not act on this, not to vote it up or down, but to not act on it now, so that we can put into place a policy for how to handle endorsements. George, you want to speak?
Yes, I mean, if we really are progressives, this is our bread and butter, y'all. And I mean, let's. It's the United Nations. It's a decade for building a culture of peace for the children of the world. And they have some resolutions. And all I'm saying is we endorse the resolutions. That's it.
Why don't we consider it?
George, let me just ask you, is there a date by which they need endorsements?
I received this email from some folks in the Houston group. And I've gone to an event. They have an event this afternoon with the fundraiser for themselves.
Right.
But, you know, their goal is to advance these resolutions.
Okay. What I would suggest, though, since there doesn't seem to be a date-specific demand on this, right, this is...
No.
Is it a decade?
I mean, but...
It's a decade. So there's not, like, an immediate rush on this. Can I suggest that we ask George to share more information about what it is, what the resolutions are, circulate that, right, just more background, et cetera. At the same time, I will work up a proposal to circulate by email and other mechanisms on that we could consider about how to handle endorsements.
In fact, I think with his background, perhaps George would be willing to help work on that, and maybe we can, I mean...
I'm sorry.
Very good. Working up a policy on how we handle endorsements. Perhaps this could be one of the things that for sure we put on the agenda in March.
I'd be happy to, of course, but I think we need to endorse these. I mean, if we are real progressives, let's do this.
Okay,
are we really progressives,
George,
y'all?
I just would ask you, let's not have litmus tests if we're real progressives. We are. I believe that the actions this board took this weekend qualifies us as real progressives, if nothing else in our history. So let's not close this as a litmus test. Okay, thank you.
The second issue, maybe I'm just not the right place to talk about it, but I mean, we've got to raise the money to pay off all these debts, y'all. We've got to have a national campaign starting tomorrow with all of our stations having fund drives to get rid of this $2.8 million we're in the hole. We've got to start it, and we've got to discuss that. We've got to do it now. And we've crossed over the top of the bridge. Now let's help going down.
Can I address that question?
I would like to, again, and Leslie Kagan. George made a motion. I believe it was seconded. I'd like to see if we could take a vote on the motion, or if George would withdraw the motion. The motion was to endorse the UN decade of. I'm sorry, I don't have the language in front of me.
The 2001 through 2010 United Nations Decade for Building a Culture of Peace for the Children of the World. and become a peace partner endorsing the decade.
Okay, thank you, Rob.
George, just for form's sake, maybe we could, each one of us here could endorse personally this, but give the full board a chance to review this, particularly since some people are not here. We all endorse this idea. We would like to see the full board do it, and we can make the full board do it. But would you accept as a friendly amendment our personal the personal endorsement of every member of the board that's here now and the full board's endorsement on behalf of Pacifica when all of the members of the board have had a chance to see this and vote on it?
Yes, the question is, can you accept that as a modification to your proposal?
I'm being told I should accept that. I don't like it.
George Bonestone is an attorney and a commercial realtor in Houston. He's also an activist for the American
friendly
amendments.
Although, I don't know why we can't do this, y'all. This is our bread and butter.
If you'd like to take a vote on that, we can. George, let me just, folks, we've all been very patient, right? George, if you don't want to withdraw it or accept the modification as Rob suggested, then we will immediately vote on your motion. Okay, so there are three options here. We immediately move to a vote on your motion. We immediately move to a vote on the modified suggestion that Rob made, or we postpone this. So you take it off the table. George?
I don't accept that modification.
Okay, so we will immediately vote on George's motion. Okay, all those in favor of accepting George's motion that the Board of Directors of the Pacifica Foundation endorse the UN... I'm sorry, again.
Decade for Building a Culture of Peace for the Children of the World.
Okay, all those in favor, please raise your hands. Two. Okay, all those... Three. Four. Okay, four. All those opposed, please raise your hands. One, two. Three. And abstention. Three. So, no. I don't believe it does pass. No, I think we need a two-thirds to pass. You need a two-thirds or a balanced majority to pass. Sorry, folks.
A balanced majority means one vote
for each
of the three.
Very, very weird realities that we are in.
Factions built
into surrealistic,
the board by
that
the
is,
court decision.
That is. It could go to the judge. It could definitely go to the judge because it got a simple
majority. People who are voting against this and abstaining are clearly doing so not because they don't believe in it, but because they don't want the board to start to take positions on issues like this in meetings like this.
It doesn't have to go to the judge.
I don't think that's cool. I mean, I think we're progressives. We should have...
George.
Well, that's your opinion.
Okay, so I think we're done with that item. We would like to go back now to the tabled item.
Can I address...
The tabled item is about moving
the
headquarters back to Berkeley.
I'm sorry, we do need to get the names of who voted. Okay, I'm sorry, I should have called out the names. The yes votes were, I believe, Teresa, Rob, George, and David Furtick. The no votes were myself, Leslie Kagan,
and
Ray LaForest, and Pete Bramson. The yes, we already explained that. The abstentions were Janice K. Bryant, Carol Spooner, and Jabari Zakia. Okay? Now, move on. The next agenda item. And we began discussing this before. Rob, you weren't in the room, so we asked that it be tabled so you could be back because we know you have thoughts about this issue. So we did begin discussion. So I would hope that people who spoke before, obviously anyone still, feel free to raise your hand and speak, but that we not have to repeat a lot of stuff that was already said. And again, I would like to, to put on the table, where we were. That is, what the hell was it? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. That motion was made. Do you have the exact language?
Yes, I do.
Okay, the secretary will read the language of the motion.
The motion was made by Pete Bramson that this board adopt the following resolution, that the Pacifica National Board commits to moving our national headquarters office back to our birthplace in Berkeley, California, as soon as feasible. And just for information of those who were not here prior, we do have received a grant commitment from the Friends of Free Speech Radio to pay the costs, any costs involved. We are aware that there are operational matters that need to be dealt with some sensitivity as to moving the national staff and so forth. And since I have the floor, I'll just read two other things that were brought to my attention. KPFA and actually the Pacifica Foundation in 1991-92 entered into a capital campaign that raised money specifically